Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911. Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I am Ruben Nava, and my partner Jesse Romero is with me. We together make up a two-man car in patrol. We would go out in partners, especially in the high crime areas. And Jesse and I both worked together back in the day in East Los Angeles Sheriff's Station. Quite a ride.
Great memories, Ruben.
Great memories. Hey, Jesse, I got some good news. Last night, I became a first-degree Knight of Columbus.
Finally.
Yeah. And one of our devoted listeners here, and he's also a big supporter of the show, and he's passing out our cards to the Virgin Most Powerful, Mark Padilla, and I know he's going to be listening.
He's a good man.
He is, and he got me involved, and what a beautiful ceremony, and I guess it's the ceremony is, I can't, you know, discuss all of it, but it was very moving, and so I was just glad to have taken part in it, and I got a chance to meet a lot of good guys. So,
absolutely, Ruben. It's a great Catholic men's organization that does a lot of good work for Holy Mother Church. And you'll probably appreciate this. I mean, the Knights of Columbus was started way back when all the men were going to the Latin Mass. So that's just yeah. a little FYI.
Yeah, you're right, Jess.
Hey, let's get right into the topics today, Ruben. We got two topics that go against Catholicism, communism and Freemasonry. We want to talk about the dangers of communism right now. And I'll tell you why, because we have a Democrat front runner, Pete Buttigieg. Most people don't know that his father was a Marxist professor who praised the Communist Manifesto. This is a fact. The father of Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg was a Marxist professor who spoke fondly of the Communist Manifesto, and he dedicated a significant portion of his academic career to the work of Italian Communist Party founder Antonio Gramsci, who was an associate of Vladimir Lenin. Mm-hmm. Joseph Buttigieg, the father of Pete Buttigieg, died in January of this year at the age of 71.
Last year, actually.
Oh, was it last year?
Yeah, last year.
Okay. That's right. You're right. Last year, tonight, the 19th. He immigrated to the U.S. in the 70s from Malta, and in 1980, he joined the University of Notre Dame faculty.
Former Catholic school, yeah.
Yeah, former where he taught modern European literature and literary theory, and he supported an updated version of Marxism, and he jettisoned some of Marx and Engels' more doctrinaire theories, though he was undoubtedly a Marxist. He was also an advisor to Rethinking Marxism, which is an academic journal that published articles that seek to discuss, elaborate, and or extend Marxian theory. And he spoke at many lectures, and his topic was Rethinking Marxism conferences and other gatherings of prominent Marxists. Obviously, the fruit didn't fall far from the tree. He's affected his son's way of thinking, and his son, I think, again, he's not really pushing this so much. He's kind of quiet about this. But he's been permeated by his dad's Marxist theology without a doubt. Ruben?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just to recap, the Communist Manifesto was meant to liberate the proletariat. The manifesto itself in recent years needed liberating from Marxism's narrow post-Cold War orthodoxies and exclusive cadres. And he says it's been freed. This is the father. You know, the Cold War, you know, as we may or may not know, it's that tense relationship between the U.S., the United States, and its allies, and the Soviet Union, the former USSR and its allies, and between the World War II and the fall of the Soviet Union, it's called the Cold War because the U.S. and the USSR never actually fought each other directly. So, you're absolutely right, Jess. I believe sincerely that Pete Buttigieg is not coming out explicitly to cite with his, you know, stand on the side of his father, because there's two other his, it's Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren they both are taking that position as being left of center, and he is pretending to be the moderate. Yeah, that he's going to be the choice, the only one who can beat Trump. And there's people have to be wary, because this guy was formed much like Obama was formed by his socialist and communist leanings with his it was a very good friend of the family that his mom may have been involved with, but and that's all documented and
right, just, Ruben, all Buttigieg is doing is like what Obama did. He's just keeping it, as they say, close to the vest.
Yep,
his Marxist way of thinking. But he agrees with Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. He just doesn't. He doesn't have to say anything because they're already running on that lane, both of those. So he doesn't have to say anything. He wants to kind of run in another lane, a moderate lane, to try to pull in Republicans to vote for him. But I'll tell you one thing, Ruben, that we're seeing right now the punishment or the consequences of Fatima. It's the fact is, we've been warned by Our Lady of Fatima that if we don't adhere to the Fatima message from the popes doing a personal consecration of the country, mm-hmm. of Russia to Our Lady, and us living the Fatima message, one of them being consecrating your life to the Our Lady and praying the daily rosary, mm-hmm. we're going to feel the effects of Russia's communist ideology. And one of the things that we're seeing right now is we're seeing communism. It's spreading throughout the entire West. They call it socialism, but it's basically communism light. Mm-hmm. And Pete Buttigieg, it says here that in 2000, a paper for Rethinking Marxism, Critical of the Approach of Human Rights Watch, Buttigieg, that this is the father, along with two other authors, referred to the Marxist project to which we subscribe. So the father was all on board with Karl Marx. And in 1998, he wrote an article for the Chronicle of Higher Education about an event in the New York City celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Communist Manifesto. Buttigieg's father also participated in that event. And if the Communist Manifesto was meant to liberate the proletariat, the manifesto itself in recent years needed liberating from the Marxist narrow post-Cold War orthodoxies and exclusive cadres. It has been freed, according to the father. Now, in case people are just kind of like wondering, so who's this guy Karl Marx, okay? Now, Karl Marx, he's the one that gave us this whole political theory about socialism and communism. Mm-hmm. And Karl Marx, a lot of people may not realize that a lot of his plans already are well and alive in America right now. Let me give you the definition of Marxism versus Christianity, a side by side. In Marxism, the human being has only instrumental worth if they can produce and contribute to the economy. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. So aborted babies don't have no worth to the economy, and neither do old people, okay, that are sick and dying. So Marxism, a human being has only instrumental worth if they can produce and contribute to the economy. Now, in Christianity, the human being has intrinsic dignity, whether they're sick or not, or they're unborn, or they're babies, or they're old, because they're children of God, made in the image and likeness of God. That's the fundamental difference right there. Christianity and communism are completely incompatible. There's also a Protestant author by the name of Richard Wurmbrand. He wrote a book. It's called Karl Marx from Christian to Satanist. And in this book, he reveals a spiritual odyssey of this communist architect. He says that Karl Marx was once upon a time a professing Christian, but later on he joined a satanic cult. And it doesn't surprise me, in this book, Marx and Satan, it just documents everything here. But the fact of the matter is, in this book, you'll see that Karl Marx initially, he opposed the ideas of socialism and communism until Moses Hess persuaded him of the usefulness that they had in being agents of the destruction of mankind, which was Marx's ultimate satanic goal. And this is why Marx was so bent on the destruction of mankind. And of course, we'll never know on this side of heaven for sure, what was in his mind. But I know this, as the Bible says, the truth will set you free, and communism hasn't set any culture free, Ruben.
Nope. not at all. I mean, even Hitler was you know, pushing this on his people too. So, you know, that couldn't be good when Karl Marx is Germanic, if I'm not mistaken. And we've been, we say all the time, a lot of things bad have come out of Germany. They're not bad people, but a lot of these, you know, even in prelates in our church and Martin Luther, another German, you know, some of the people that were pushing Pope Francis to
Nietzsche, the famous atheist, Adolf Hitler. I mean,
but
and a lot of our German prelates right now, Ruben, they've got off the rails.
They're not Catholic anymore. And they were the ones pushing Pope Francis for the Amazonian.
They were funding it. They're all behind it.
Yeah, because they know that once he would open it up for a particular region, that's going to be the open door so that they can change their policies and their, you know, it's going to be right out in the open. So, this is true about Buttigieg. He's sitting there listening to his dad expound all these things. As a child, he'd be there for, you know, debates with his father and his friends that were over, and they heard the fist pumping and the table pounding, and so he grew up with this stuff. And so anyway, we'll get more into
it. It's in his DNA, Ruben. Yeah. Socialism and communism is in Pete Buttigieg's DNA.
That's right. And we'll talk more about this when we come back. Don't want to miss the next segment.
Hello, this is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Olivetti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, the Church for You Does Wait Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriati, who is from our parish, St. Louise de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35, and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for You, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man car, we are back, 10-8. We're open for calls. We're giving you some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefing to fill your war bags up so that you can go out and change the world and make a difference. And so we're talking about Pete Buttigieg's father, who was basically a Marxist professor, he taught at Notre Dame, and for years he espoused all these beliefs and promoted Marxism theories and so it was completely out in the open, and I have no idea why, you know, back then the presidents of Notre Dame were able to keep him on staff. And that goes back to the, you know, but Jesse, we remember when we first came on, we all took that oath against modernism, and
it's on the website. It's on the Virgin Most Powerful website.
You're absolutely right. And it all professors and teachers in Catholic institutions were supposed to, as well as the priests and prelates, were commanded to do it. And that was done away with back by Pope St. Paul, Pope St. Paul VI. So it's really I lost my train of thought. You know, it's problematic to be a Catholic professor and teaching things that are contrary to the faith.
Yeah, that's, yep, completely incompatible.
Incompatible.
Let me tell you a little bit about Karl Marx. Okay, he's the one that wrote the Communist Manifesto. Karl Marx, he was a German, as Ruben said, and he thought that in writing this manifesto, he thought that he was providing a utopia, but everywhere where the Communist Manifesto was implemented, it's resulted in what? Catastrophes and mass murder. Yeah. Karl Marx is a 19th century German, and his ideas in the Communist Manifesto has given rise to some of the most brutal dictators in world history, and ideas have consequences, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but the ideas of Karl Marx have been catastrophic, okay? It was on his ideas, Marx, that Lenin and Stalin built the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. Mao, he built communist China on Marx's ideas. And you also have other tyrants like the Kims in North Korea. They built their regimes on Marxist ideas. The Castros in Cuba built their communist regime on Marxist ideas. Unfortunately, those regimes and movements calling themselves Marxists, they've murdered about 100 million people in the 20th century and enslaved more than a billion. And Karl Marx believed that workers, specifically those who did manual labor, that's what we call the proletariat.
Right.
He said they're exploited by the capitalists, the people who owned. So as Marx put it, you know, the capitalists own the means of production, you know, factories and stuff, but they did very physical labor themselves. So Marx wanted to start, through the Communist Manifesto, a workers' revolution. And Marx wrote in the Communist Manifesto that he wanted to correct this injustice between the working class and the capitalists. And so what does this revolution look like? Well, he spells it out point by point in the Communist Manifesto. Here's a couple of points that he puts out that Bernie Sanders and Warren and the rest of them basically are running on. One of them is the abolition of property and inheritance. That's number one. Number two, the centralization of credit. Number three, the centralization of communication. Number four, and transportation is going to be in the hands of the state. In other words, the state owns and controls pretty much everything.
Yep.
That's what his political theory was all about. Okay. And nothing came of it until Vladimir Lenin took power in Russia in 1917. And then he implemented Marx's ideas in Russia. And this changed everything. And despite Russia's economic failures, Lenin's Russia became known as the Soviet Union. And it became the model for dictators around the world. So wherever Marx's ideas have been practiced, guess what? Life has got worse, not by a little, but by a long shot. And there's not a single exception to this rule. Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, China, North Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, Venezuela, Bolivia, Zimbabwe, wherever Marxism goes, economic collapse and terror and famine follow. And this is why we as Catholics must resist this and these Democrat candidates with all our intellect and our will and the power of our vote. Ruben?
You're right, Jess. This theory, you know, it's this idea that it's compatible with Catholicism is absolutely false. Pius the 11th in Quadragesimo Anno, he says that Christian socialism are contradiction contradictory terms. No one can be at the same time a good Catholic and a true socialist. And even the Catechism 2425 says the church has rejected the totalitarian and atheistic ideologies associated in modern times with communism or socialism. Pope Leo XIII, Rerum Novarum, explicitly rejects several main tenets of socialism. And Catechism 2401 says socialism severely curtails rights to private property. The church, on the other hand, upholds the individual's right to private property. So just because good communists, if they're good people, it doesn't make communism good. Sometimes people fail to separate those two. They're like, hey, this guy's a good guy, man. He's, you know, so they think that, well, maybe what he's espousing is good also, but it is not. Because you mentioned, Jesse, the persecution, and just think about this. There were tortured, imprisonments, exiles, forced labor, mass famines, and systematic murders that were unleashed against humanity, especially against Christians throughout the 20th century. And in 1922, the Soviet Union murdered 28 Eastern Orthodox bishops and more than 1,200 priests. And there was a head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Sergius the First. He grimly recalled that. He says, we were like chickens in a shed from which the cook snatches out her victim in turn. So, you know, in the entire body of the Catholic social teaching, beginning with Pope Leo XIII, one can find no heresy so strenuously and unequivocally denounced than communism and the socialist fictions that propped up, dubbed wicked and pernicious and fatally flawed from the start. Pope Pius XI, by the way, said that socialism cannot be reconciled, as I said, cannot be reconciled with teachings of the Catholic Church because its concept of society itself is utterly foreign to Christian truth. And so, you know, people will bag on capitalism, you know, but until the year 1894 to 99% of all people lived on less than $2 a day, Jesse. So one wonders why, this capitalism is put down. So, you know, it's this kind of wealth distribution or lack thereof that existed from creation. You know, only 10% of people endure this kind of extreme poverty today. So that's still hundreds of millions of people, but who are suffering. But capitalism should be given credit for doing in 200 years what the human race couldn't do, it couldn't achieve in the previous 20,000. And so, I mean, the people say, oh, the rich just keep getting richer, but also the poor are also getting richer. You know, indeed, there's areas of extreme.
At least in our economy right now, that's a fact, Ruben.
Yeah, indeed, areas of extreme poverty around the world need more capitalism, not less. So, you know, that's
why President Trump's going over to India, and he's a hit over in India because he knows that his plans could lift up the country and, you know, rich and poor. He can basically raise the standard over there. Ruben, from a Catholic point of view, I'm going to tell you this communism, I'll tell you why it's essentially evil, because it's anti-God. Okay? It's anti-God. It's an atheistic regime. It persecutes religion, especially the Catholic faith, everywhere it's practiced, everywhere. Communism also enacts laws to dismantle the family and abolish private property. And most of the people that are running on the Democrat Party right now, they're socialist. Socialist is the twin brother of communism. Okay, it's the same thing. It's a synonym.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we got from communist Russia, and we were warned about by Our Lady, is they're the ones that introduced no fault divorce, and that was the first communist empire that continued to spread that poison. And then China adopted no fault divorce when they became communists in 1949, and now in America, we got no-fault divorce. Again, that's an infiltration of communism, the destruction of family and faith. And the messages of Our Lady of Fatima, just weeks before the Bolsheviks swept into power in Russia, she said that Russia would spread its errors throughout the whole world. And there's a connection between the murderous atheistic ideology of communism and its infliction of divorce on a people once proud of their spiritual heritage. Also, communist Russia was the first government in modern times to openly promote abortion on demand, and this was years before the eugenics program of Nazi Germany. Ruben?
Yeah. You know, so if people think that they can vote for this candidate, you know, because he seems he's more moderate than the other ones that are running, they have to think again. You know, he's attacked Elizabeth Warren over her support for Medicare for All, and that that criticism has its own. And last year he said, "I do favor Medicare for All," but now he's saying he's trying to explain it. You know, but I don't want to take away from people's choices to choose what insurance they want. He's very much into, you know, a pathway for citizenship for illegal immigrants and, you know, for DACA arrivals. You know, he's also a pro-climate change. He wants to do away with the Electoral College. He was a Baptist Catholic, Jesse, and somehow he's, you know, he strayed from the faith, and he married his male partner. And in a,
Ruben, by the way, I don't like watching anybody kiss. You know, I don't even like husband and wives doing public displays. You know, wait till you go home or something. But much less, Ruben, if I don't like seeing a man and a woman kiss, a boyfriend or a girlfriend kiss, you know, these public displays of affection that should be, there should be some prudence. I much more have an aversion to seeing two guys kiss in public, especially a president. Can you imagine? The first man, this is diabolical disorientation hitting the highest places of our country, that it's potentially we could have the POTUS having, you know, kissing his husband in the White House. Ruben, if that happens, all I'm saying is batten down the hatches. The second coming of Christ is right around the corner.
You could be right, Jesse. You could be very onto something there. And so Pete Buttigieg, he went to a Episcopalian church, because when he the guy's sharp. He's an intellectual. You know, he was a Rhodes Scholar. He went to Oxford, and so he got into the Anglican Church over there, and over here became, you know, it's the our version of it is Episcopalian. So his pastor married him here, and he says, you know, when they opened up marriage for all.
I need to head fake marriage, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. It's not even, it's a union, right? A same-sex union. And
fake marriage.
So, you listeners, hey, don't be swayed by some of the things that are coming out. We can't vote for these candidates, all right?
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today. For Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. Iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We're switching gears, Jesse, but we're going to continue on talking about things that
another
are problematics and things that are in the church here. A Vatican cleric claims Catholics can be Freemasons. Wow.
Is this microphone on?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is. It's on, Jesse.
The infiltration, now, Ruben, is here.
Yeah. This comes from Vienna. Eight popes over 200 years in a barrage of 20 legal interdicts have condemned Freemasonry, pronouncing automatic excommunication against any Catholic who becomes a member of a Masonic lodge. And so now a new book by an official of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. It's one of Francis's handpicked, prelates there, is claiming that a practicing Catholic can simultaneously be a Freemason and that the penalty of excommunication may certainly not be applied to Catholic Freemasons, as if there could be a distinction. Father Michael Heinrich Winninger, where do you think he's from, Jess? Launched his 500-page
Germany
study, Lodge and Altar. And he says that it's about reconciliation of the Catholic Church and regular Freemasonry. So last Wednesday in Vienna, he, accompanied by Austrian Lodge Grand Master George Semler on the dais, he goes in and he's explaining what he's about his book. And Semler identifies as a committed Catholic. Semler's this Grand Master from Freemason Lodge. This guy claims he's a committed Catholic, while Winninger, Father Winninger, ordained by Cardinal Christopher Schönborn in 2011, was outed as a Freemason when celebrating Mass at the consecration of a new lodge of Mark Master Masons in 2014. And during the ceremony, a Masonic communicate informed its members that Brother Reverend Michael was installed and invested as chaplain. So they're saying Brother Reverend Michael, this priest, Winninger, he was invested as a chaplain in each of the three lodges, adding that Winninger was well qualified since he lives in the Vatican as a member of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue but works in Rome. And then Winninger says he presented copies of his book to Pope Francis, to Schönborn, and to high-ranking officials in the Roman Curia. And Schönborn responded with nothing but goodwill, he bragged. Jesse?
In 2013, Pope Francis, at a press conference, he did lash out at a lobby of Masons while on a 2015 visit to Turin. Mm-hmm. And the Pope spoke of worse conditions for young people at the end of the 19th century when Freemasonry was in full swing. He says that there were priest haters. There were also Satanists. But in 2017, the Pope compelled Cardinal Burke to purge Freemasons from the Knights of Malta. So it seems like if Pope Francis has done some good things in the past, he's made some strong statements against the Masons, and he even had Cardinal Burke trying to clean them out over in the Malta. And yet, why isn't he saying anything right now about Father Winninger? Mm-hmm. Why is he silent about this? I mean, see, this is what confuses me about the Pope. A lot of us. It's called ambiguity.
Right.
He says one thing, but then he does something else. On the other hand, this guy's running around all over with this new book. And he's a member of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. If Pope Francis has condemned Freemasonry in the past, why isn't he condemning this book? The article says At the book launch, Father Michael Weninger, this Mason in the Catholic Church, narrated his experience of being repeatedly approached by Catholic Freemasons during his trips around the world. They described to me their troubles of conscience and mental problems, whether they're actually excommunicated because of their membership in the lodge. And I told them, Father Michael Weninger, this Mason in the Catholic Church, I told them with a clear conscience that they weren't, he stressed, claiming that around 2 million Catholics are Freemasons. Wow.
Yeah, we
got at least 2 million infiltrators right here.
Well, just, you know, like Archbishop Fulton Sheen would say, you know, might doesn't make right. He used to say, moral principles do not depend on a majority vote. Wrong is wrong if everybody's wrong. Right is right if nobody's right. You know, how many times do you hear the kids, you know, they say, hey, everybody's doing it. When my parents used to say, well, you know, if they're going to go jump off a bridge, are you going to do it also? You know, that usually shut me up when they say that. But it's true. These people, well, the Pope isn't condemned any of James Martin's books, you know, and so it doesn't surprise me that he's, I don't know if he's trying to be everybody's friend, you know, to be a leader, sometimes you have to say tough things. You have to, you know, put your foot down and, you know, stand for principle and what the church teaches. So.
Ruben, I'll tell you, it's not so much what somebody says, it's what they do. That's
right.
You know, the epistle of James, mm-hmm. He says, you know, don't just be hearers of the word of God, but be doers. The Pope says some good things about Masonry and communism, you know, denunciations and stuff. But then when it comes to take action, he's not pulling the trigger, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's what concerns me, because that every single Pope before him has condemned Freemasonry thunderously. The article says, their solid canonical argumentation for considering the Masonic oath to constitute a graver offense than an explicit act of heresy. The former diplomat, now heading the Vatican's dialogue with Islam, argues that previous popes' condemnations of Freemasonry must be understood as ultimately more politically than theologically motivated. That's absolutely false, by the way. Father Michael Weninger, this Masonic infiltrator, says this: one has to differentiate between different types of Freemasons, he contends. And he exonerates, Father Michael Weninger exonerates lodges under the umbrella of the Grand Lodge of England, which also includes the Grand Lodge of Austria, as regular Freemasons, who he says are neither political nor anti-Catholic. Another lie. Again, this is exactly what Christ told us about. Watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. And St. Peter and St. Paul in their letters talk about false apostles and false teachers. This is you're looking at him right now. I'm looking at a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Father Michael Weninger also admits that Italian and French Freemasons were often politically or even militarily combative against the church, but dismisses them as, you know, like pseudo Freemasons, trying to say that they're fake Freemasons. Now, that's Freemasonry in its essence.
Absolutely.
This does not apply at all to English-oriented Freemasonry, Father Weninger says, which is the template for most lodges in the world. He explains, noting that a regular Freemasonry is politically reserved and keeps tolerance high and also encourages its members to a certain spirituality that is absolutely compatible with Christianity. Another lie. Father Michael Weninger argues, he says, for too long, the church did not differentiate between these regular Freemasons and others with sometimes sectarian or anti-church tendencies. Ruben,
wow.
I mean, when I'm talking about, Jesus says in Matthew 24 that in the latter times before he comes back, there's going to be many false prophets. I could tell you two right now that jump right at me. Father Michael Weninger and Father James Martin.
That's right, Jess. You know, and sometimes people will say down in Mexico, hey, these cartels are doing some good things. They're feeding some of these homeless people. They're giving money to the church. You know, that doesn't make them good. These organizations, these Freemasonry, have condemned, you know, Catholicism, Christianity. You know, we know about we've spoken about it, the Alta Vendita that was in a previous show, you know, it was uncovered by the church, and their goal was to destroy the Catholic Church. That ultimately was what their aim was. So, he says that Weninger goes on to say that he claims that the confusion over whether Catholic Freemasons are excommunicated stems from a contradiction between the 1983 Code of Canon Law, which he contends removed the condemnation of Freemasonry contained in the 1917 Code and a damning 1983 declaration from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, the CDF. And in 1983, Declaration on Masonic Association, personally authorized by Pope John Paul II, then Cardinal Ratzinger, unambiguously declared, "The Church's negative judgment in regard to Masonic's association remains unchanged since their principles have always been considered irreconcilable with the doctrine of the Church, and therefore membership in them remains forbidden. The faithful who enroll in a Masonic associations are in a state of grave sin and may not receive Holy Communion." So against Wininger's attempt to distinguish between regular and irregular Freemasons, the declaration also made explicit that it is not within the competence of local ecclesiastical authorities like this priest to give a judgment on the nature of Masonic associations, which would imply a derogation from what has been decided above. So Wininger, he also insists that the CDF condemnation of Freemasonry does not undo the dialogue begun in the 1960s by then Archbishop of Vienna and President of the Secretariat of Nonbelievers, Cardinal Franz Koenig, who held talks with Austrian, German, and French and Swiss Freemasons in the wake of the Second Vatican Council. You know, but that was
another lie.
Yeah.
Every pope has denounced Freemasonry for 150 years since they started, and Cardinal Ratzinger, under John Paul II, once again denounced it in that CDF document, and he's trying to dismiss 100, almost 200 years of papal condemnations and saying, oh yeah, that last CDF document, it didn't really have any weight or authority. Look at Freemasonry, it's a secret society. Notice secret. Mm-hmm. Notice Gnosticism is a heresy in the Catholic Church. Anytime you start hearing secret as a Catholic, that means Gnosticism. Gnosticism is a heresy. The Freemasons had this anti-supernatural philosophical worldview, which is hostile to the Catholic Church. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. They don't believe that people go to heaven through Jesus Christ. They believe in what's called religious indifferentism, and they also push Gnosticism, which means we Masons are the only ones that have the truth about life and the afterlife. So you've got to be a Mason with our secret handshakes and our secret codes and our secrets in order for you to reach enlightenment. Ruben?
Yeah. We're going to continue on this. We're going to tell you why we cannot be Masons and be Catholic. It's irreconcilable. We'll be right back.
We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four, talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. We are back to Matt Carr. Jesse, this is, you know, I don't know. I don't know a whole lot of Freemasons, but I do. I have. I do know some people that are Freemasons that weren't Catholic, but I can't say that I know any Catholics that are Freemasons, and maybe they're just undercover. You know, they just don't make themselves known. This is problematic.
Yeah, and, Ruben. So we got this priest, Father Michael Weninger, who just wrote a book. It's based on, I guess, his doctoral dissertation, and the book is called On the Reconciliation of the Catholic Church and Regular Freemasonry. It was completed as a Jesuit-run university in 2019, and there's a canon lawyer that takes issue with this, Canonist Edward Condon. He says, even the basic initiation rituals of Blue Lodge, Lodge Masonry, common to every rite and country, involve at least a tacit renunciation of the efficacy of one's baptism through the assertion that one has been long walking in darkness and now seeks the light only Masonry can bring. Father Ripperger, he also has a lot to say about Masonry. As you move up the ranks to Masonry, Masons they pray to the great architect of the universe. And so most people, they're told, you know, when you join the Masons, a Catholic, they'll say, hey, this great architect of the universe, this is God. So the Catholic says, oh, okay, all right, cool, God. Well, when you become a 33rd degree Mason, guess what happens? Father Ripperger says, that's when you're told by the lodge that, oh, by the way, you know, the great architect that you've been praying to, for these 32 degrees up until the 33rd degree? Yeah, the great architect, it's God, right? no, it's Lucifer. It's the devil. So they're told at the 33rd degree that the great architect that they've been praying to for their entire membership is actually Satan. Now, Freemasonry has no one founder. It's a secret society. They claim that they come from Solomon's Temple. Some of them claim that they come from medieval Europe, so they don't even agree as to where they come. But one thing we do know, the Masons started in 1717 as a lodge with initiations, symbols, and degrees. And in the USA, the Grand Lodge of each state is the highest authority. That's like their magisterium. They will use the Bible, but they also use other what they call holy books as well. And then they have their other writings, like the Introduction to Freemasonry by Carl Claudy. They have the Masonic Encyclopedia. They have the Revised Masonic Encyclopedia. So everyone has, they use other books as well. Now, the Masons, they claim to transmit secret teachings from ancient times that nobody knows about. And so Masonry requires a belief in the great architect. Again, it's revealed to you at the 33rd degree that it's Satan that you've been praying to the whole time. Mm. Also, the Masons, when the Bible is quoted, guess what? References to Jesus are always omitted. Public prayers to Jesus cannot be used. And in several rituals, the Masons will call Jesus Zoroaster, Buddha, and Muhammad, but they're all equal. Mm. And salvation, according to the Grand Lodge, is achieved by living an upright life without explicit faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so in other words, it's a Pelagianism. You're mustering. You're trying to achieve salvation by your own strength. That's a Christian heresy. That's called Pelagianism. And loyalty binds Masons to one another. The Masons promise by oath to even kill themselves or their fellow members if they reveal their secret rituals to outsiders. And Masonic vows include protection to fellow Masons, even in cases of crime. You can't tell on a fellow Mason. And again, loyalty binds Masons to one another, and Masons promise by oath never to reveal their secrets to outsiders. And again, remember what Jesus Christ says? He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from the devil, it's from the evil one.
That's right. You know, Jess, you know what the fundamental defect is? It's not the opposition of Freemasonry's philosophical ideas or moral conceptions. It's not the fact that it is or may be hostile to the church. It's not its assertion of humanistic values as the only universal principle of action. And it's not its secrecy or the recourse of its members to conspiracy. It's not its bizarre rituals. It's not its asserted possession of the individual lodge member or the fact that he may become an instrument in unknown activities. It is not even its Gnostic assertion of a higher knowledge. This article that I'm reading from, it says that the grave, though these shortcomings may be, they are in a sense secondary, for they are only instrumental causes of the disparity between the craft and the church. The principal cause of that disparity is that Freemasonry mocks Almighty God to his face. This is shown chiefly in the fact that its adherents must implicitly before and explicitly upon initiation sin against the first and the second commandments in an oath which is not only unjust, but an abuse of the solemnity which attaches to an oath and wicked. This defect was recognized as such by Pope Leo XIII in the following extract from his encyclical. His encyclical Quo Graviora. And what the Pope says is that it says, we explicitly condemn and declare invalid, particularly that clearly impious and accursed oath by which they bind those who are received into these sects, that they will reveal to none those things which pertain to those sects, and that they will strike with death all those members who expose those things to their superiors. Did you hear that? Either ecclesiastics or laity. For what reason is not that oath contrary to the divine law, which must be sworn to establish a contract by which someone obliges himself to, you know, commit murder and to despise the authority of those who regulate the church or legitimate civil society? Isn't it the most unjust and the greatest indignity to call God as a witness and surety of such crimes? That's what Pope Leo XIII said. He was very adamant about his renunciation of Freemasonry. You know, and it's a shame. He's one of the good guys, that Pope Leo XIII, one of my favorite popes of all time.
Yeah. I just want to mention, as we continue on Freemasonry this week, and I'm going to be at a men's conference. It's going to be at St. Philip Church, Greenville, Rhode Island. It's going to be an all-day conference, 7:30 to 3:15. Men of St. Joseph International Men's Conference. That's this Saturday, February 29th at St. Philip Church, Greenville, Rhode Island. Hope to see you guys there. Ruben, going back to Freemasonry, I'll tell you, so who do you believe? Do you believe this, looking at this article here, Father Michael Weninger, do you believe what he says about Freemasonry, or do you believe what St. Maximilian Kolbe says about Freemasonry?
Oh, yes.
Do you believe in Father Michael Weninger, a liberal Jesuit, who's an advisor to Pope Francis right now in the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Mm. Do you believe Father Michael Weninger, a German prelate, or do you believe St. Maximilian Kolbe? Father Michael Weninger, right now a modernist, says Freemasonry is good, Catholics. St. Maximilian Kolbe tells us it's evil. St. Maximilian Kolbe, he published in 1939, in the years leading up to the war, the Second World War, the Masonic clique, which was disapproved of on several occasions by many popes governing in Rome, yeah, the capital of Christianity. And Father Maximilian Kolbe, he did not even hesitate to brandish in the streets of the city, the Masons in 39, they went to the streets of the city of Rome during the festivities in honor of Giordani Bruno. They carried a black flag showing the Archangel St. Michael beneath the feet of Lucifer and still less did they hesitate to brandish Masonic insignia beneath the windows of the Vatican. A reckless hand felt no repugnance in writing. One of the Masons wrote in the flag, "Satan will rule in the Vatican and the Pope will serve him in the uniform of a Swiss guard," and other things of that kind. Wow. This was said in 1939 by the Masons. They were marching around Rome with this on their flags, that Satan will rule the Vatican and the Pope in the uniform of a Swiss guard through Masonry. And now we have Father Michael Weninger, who's telling us something that the popes have denounced, that Freemasonry and Catholicism are compatible. There's no problem being a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
This is what St. Maximilian was warning us about. And this mortal hatred of the Catholic Church and of Jesus Christ and for his vicar was just not a prank on part of a bunch of deranged individuals, but it's a systematic action by the Masons proceeding from the principle of Freemasonry, which is what? Destroy all religion, whatever it may be, especially the Catholic religion. And as a consequence of witnessing the Freemasons' hostility towards the church in 1917, St. Maximilian Kolbe decided to found the militia of the Immaculata, the Knights of the Immaculate, to counteract the actions of Lucifer. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, he was right there seeing it firsthand in the Vatican, Jesse, when he, or, you know, in Rome, that all this stuff was going on. And sheesh, I can't believe that.
How far we've gone, Ruben.
We have fallen off the rails, Jesse. And, you know, the current position is that it's still irreconcilable. You know, I think what people will say, there's no doubt that the church's legislation against Freemasonry and similar associations is weaker now than it was under the 1917 code. Canon 1374 in the 83 code does not condemn Freemasonry by name. It ought to do so. But Canon 1374 has no provision condemning associations which plot against legitimate and civil authorities, abandoning a position held by the church for 250 years. Since all authority on earth comes from God, Romans 13:1, the absence of such a provision in the church's legislation is reprehensible. The church has got to come down. It's just not explicit in the new code of canon law. And then that's true about other subjects too. So, the modernists were running the church, you know. Vatican II was filled with modernists, and they put things in there with ambiguous language so that they
that
can.
That was their coming out party.
Yep, Jesse. That's
the way Taylor Marshall describes it.
The coming out party. Yeah,
yeah. He calls it their coming. You know, think about, you know, a bunch of girls jumping, popping out of a cake at a you know.
Wow.
That's exactly what happened at Vatican II. They've been infiltrating for 100 years before that. But they felt strong enough to come out of the cake at Vatican II.
And I think our friend, I better not mention his name. I don't want to get him in trouble. Yeah. But he was saying the Pope Francis is the result of Vatican II. He is the logical conclusion. They got who they wanted in there. And we love the Pope. We pray for the Pope.
And we pray for him every day, by the way. Right. And he is our Pope.
That's right.
So we just want him to hold up to the perennial teaching of the church. Hey, keep your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. Follow the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Be devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pray rosaries every day.
Every day.
10-7, we're out.
We're out. Stay tuned for Gary Mishuta on Hands-On Apologetics. Work those beads. Today's Fat Tuesday. Lent starts tomorrow.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.